time to talk Boston sports, we turn to our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe for his eloquence and knowledge, as always. Hello there, Chad.
Hello, Rich. I don't know if I believe that, but I appreciate it.
No, every word of it is true. You kidding me?
Yeah. Eloquence is what they say when they're surprised somebody can actually speak complete sentences that they didn't expect them to be able to do it. So I guess that fits.
All right, there you go. Works for all of us then. Well, it's the Mac Jones era. I thought overall some good news. The problems yesterday weren't of Mac Jones' making.
Yeah, I think if you knew in advance that they were going to lose that game because of mistakes that they made, you probably would have assumed that a couple of them were by the rookie quarterback. And, you know, one was. Didn't cost him really anything other than yardage when he made that fumble backwards pass, sort of panicky heave the first time. I think it was the first time he threw the ball in the game. But otherwise, he looked like a guy who'd been in the league for 5 years. And ultimately, that probably should be the number one takeaway. That looks like the Patriots have a really good young quarterback who's going to be able to handle what they throw at him and probably help them win a lot of games this year. It's hard to feel that way about it because they lost, and there were a lot of blown opportunities between the four fumbles, two that they lost, and the eight penalties. But I think overall, if you're just assessing the big picture of that whole game, you have to come away feeling pretty optimistic about where things are headed here because they have a young quarterback now.
I was trying to remember as I watched the game what it felt like to see Brady for the first time, but it's hard because of what we've seen over the course of the last two decades, and you don't want to put that kind of pressure on Mac Jones, but it's been such a long time for Patriots fans to see that, a young quarterback with lots of potential.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember the first time we saw Brady in the regular season game because I was angry. It was that Thanksgiving game in 2000 where they got blown out by Charlie Batch and the Lions, and I think Bear Brady came in at the end when just completely lethargic performance by Bledsoe and the Patriots, and Brady came in and went like 1 for 3 and completed his first career pass, and you thought he was like backup third string quarterback material at that point. And even in 2001, after Drew got hurt, it took a while for Brady to be Brady. I mean, his first start was the game against the Colts, where the late David Patton had a rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown, and threw for one, kind of pulled the Walter Payton there. And then Brady didn't have to do a lot in that game. The next game, they got annihilated by the Dolphins. Brady took a beating, and I think he only threw for like 86 yards or something like that. So it took a little while. We could see things with him early that you also see with Mac Jones. Nobody's making that comparison between the two players, but you can see that the offense runs with tempo, that he's decisive about where he's throwing the ball, that he's not going to fold up like Tony Eason when the pass rusher's coming at him. So just many things to take away from his performance that indicate that he has a chance to be a really good quarterback. And it was pretty fun to watch him play yesterday, even with the outcome of the game.
Also fun to watch Damian Harris until, well, you know, that last series. He was having a heck of a game, but you got to protect the football in those crucial situations. I think I actually saw a couple of Coach Bill's hairs just fall right off.
Yeah, you know what? I think I understand why he does it, but I don't think Belichick might want to reconsider burying a running back when they fumble, because Ramondre Stevenson fumbled after a pass reception. Didn't really make a huge effort to go after the ball, and I think the replays today showed he didn't actually fumble. And then we never saw him again. And that ended up with Harris really taking the brunt of the load. I don't know if J.J. Taylor played at all. Didn't look to see if he was inactive, but I don't remember seeing him. James White ran a few times. I think it was 4, but they really put a workload on Harris. Mm. And the one question with him has been durability. I mean, he began last season on injured reserve. He ended last season on injured reserve, and he's only played 10 games in 2 seasons going into yesterday. So this is a kid who still needs to prove that he can handle that bell cow back workload. And I think he had a little bit too much on his shoulders. That doesn't excuse the fumble, but he might have been better served later in the game. He has 60 yards on his first 6 carries. He got 40 the rest of the way. I think mixing it up a little bit in the backfield would have been probably more beneficial to the Patriots. As good of a back as Harris looks like he's going to be.
Yeah, what did I read? He took 40 snaps on the day. Stevenson had 5.
Yeah, Stevenson was on the plane to New Jersey, I think, after that fumble. And, you know, Brelichick's always done that. I mean, early in his tenure here, we didn't see a lot of Kevin Falk because he couldn't hold on to the ball. J.R. Redmond was the third down back on that 0-1 team. And Stephen Ridley was in the doghouse all the time because of his fumbles, even though he was a productive back for a while. The thing they loved about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is he never fumbled in his life, high school, college, or for a good stretch in the pros. So that's a really important thing to him. But I think punishing Stevenson the way that he did left him a little bit shorthanded yesterday in the backfield. And the other thing was they ran into trouble in the red zone when they got away from passing. When they ran the ball, Jones would make a couple nice throws to get in the red zone, and then something would go wrong when they ran the ball. Those 14-play drives where they ended up having to settle for 3 field goals on those drives, I think they need to realize that they can trust the kid quarterback a little bit more in those situations rather than feeling obligated to hand off when they get close to the goal line.
Always interesting to see how chemistry develops between a new quarterback and receivers, and it's only one game, but saw some very good things in the relationship between Jones and Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I thought Myers' numbers were better than they were because every time he caught the ball, he was converting a third down. But he had seven catches, was it?
I think so, yeah.
Somewhere in the 40s for yardage, but he had a third and one convert. His first 3 catches were for first down, third and one, third and two, and then a third and six. And he had a late drop that hurt him where the one thing Jones did throwing the ball that he needs to fix is he led guys a little bit too much. There were a couple times where he could have had plays on crossing patterns and he threw it just a little too far to their reach. And he did that with Myers on a third and six situation late in the game that Myers couldn't hold on to. But he had another one. Had another one even later on that converted another third down. So I believe it was him. I think it's been held against him a little bit that he was undrafted and Belichick kind of buried him last year. He didn't play a lot. It was clear Nikhil Harry couldn't play at all, and it took him a little bit of time to win over the coaching staff. But it's clear that he is he's going to get every opportunity to succeed as the slot receiver this year. And so far, so good. I think he's going to be really good at it.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. You wrote about the game in your unconventional review on the Boston Globe, and I absolutely agree with you. Pleasantly surprised by the work of Adrian Phillips yesterday.
Yeah, he's a good player. We tend to forget about him because you talk about McCourty, he's been here forever, and Kyle Duggar, he was great yesterday. He looks like he's going to be a terrific player, and then you start thinking about the guys they've brought in, the guys who are back, Judon up front, Hightower, Uche emerging. And you tend to forget that Adrian Phillips was their leading tackler last year. And he's a guy who's not very big, but he plays like a linebacker the way he hits. He's fearless about going into the box. He made a couple of tremendous plays yesterday. One of them where he chased down Tua and sent him into Judon's path, and that's when he threw the ball up for grabs late in the game. That was Jonathan Jones's interception. He felt like it was, at that point, going to be the pivotal play in the game. And this guy's like the seventh or eighth guy you mentioned when you start talking about that defense, but he is an absolutely essential player to what they're trying to do. A really great signing last year away from the Chargers.
So it's only a game, but look, if there's nothing to covering the NFL and talking about sports on the radio, if you can't blow things out of proportion after a game. So with the Bills losing, the Dolphins beating the Patriots at home, does this mean the AFC East is wide open now?
I think it does. I mean, Buffalo's going to be fine. My big takeaway is Miami is underestimated.
Mm.
I don't think Tua is a very good, but they have a lot. Their defense is still pretty good. They have, when Will Fuller comes back from his suspension, Waddle looked terrific yesterday. Devontae Parker's been a guy who's had success against the Patriots, even when Stephon Gilmore defending him, as we saw a couple of years ago late in the season when he ate Gilmore up and his defensive player of the year season. He can be a productive guy, and he was a nuisance yesterday on those slants. So, and they're really well coached. I mean, Flores is won three of the last four, right, against Belichick, other than the Antonio Brown blowout, the great week with Antonio Brown. And we know, I mean, he was here. We know he's a respected guy and a terrific defensive coach, and he's got four guys on his staff that were with the Patriots. He's got a good thing going there, and I think Miami 10-6 last year has probably been underestimated a little bit this year. They're legit.
Let's talk some baseball. Red Sox tonight to continue a tough road trip with a late game against the Seattle Mariners tonight. We've got us a heck of a wild card race shaping up for these last few weeks.
How about the Yankees, huh? 13 in a row, and what is it, 2-12 in their last 14, something like that? I know they were playing this afternoon. But
very sad. I feel terrible about it.
Yeah, I think people are crushed. Probably the most inconsistent team up and down in baseball this year. It's really been wild to watch them. But it feels like Toronto's in. That team just is mashing their way into the playoffs. They have a quiet Cy Young front runner in Robbie Ray, who's got well over 200 strikeouts now, only 11 wins, but has probably been the best pitcher in the American League this year, other than Garrett Cole, and he's dealing with an injury right now. So it feels like the Blue Jays are going to get that one spot, and then the Red Sox and Yankees are going to see who can play 500 ball the rest of the way and earn that second one. Fortunately, nobody has gotten really scalding hot behind them. These games with the Mariners obviously matter, but it feels like 20 games to go, Sox still have a really good opportunity here. And probably, if they can keep the COVID COVID positive test continuing to go here, that they should be the front runner for this.
Now, Yankees, by the way, are trailing Minnesota 5-2 in the eighth inning right now.
I think the Twins have beaten the Yankees since Rod Carew was playing for them. So it's been a while. Absurd record against the Yankees.
Do we know, in terms of the COVID situation, do we know, maybe we, it was a crazy weekend, so I may have missed it, but do we know yet if Sale has actually been vaccinated?
He told us he was when he came back from Tommy John.
Okay.
That, you know, when he was getting ready to make his first start, and that he had it over the winter, and it hit, I think it was in the spring, and that it, you know, hit him pretty hard. And I think they've had some strange cases here, because Kike Hernandez is vaxxed, Matt Barnes is, and he's been gone for a while. This is the second time he's had it. So, you know, some of the guys who are vaccinated, who are at least told reporters that they are missing time here too. I think the guys who aren't vaxxed are taking this pretty hard and having a harder time coming back. You can kind of do the math on who those might be, but I know that the number one anti-vaxxer on the team hasn't been affected by this yet. So we'll see if this continues to be to affect the Sox, but it's kind of a shame they never got to that 85% threshold.
And is there any level of dissension or disappointment among teammates that, geez, guys, you know, if you take care of business, we wouldn't have to worry about all this?
You know, we'd probably have a better idea of that if there was more access. But the irony is, because of COVID still being around, you can't get in there to ask them more about COVID. It tends to be Zoom calls even with you at the ballpark. So you can talk to players, you know, before the game at the batting cage from a distance and that sort of thing. But it's not the access you would normally have to ask questions like that. So, and, you know, the Red Sox haven't spilled the beans on who's driving this and who isn't, but you can kind of read it just by what guys say individually and how defiant they are about it, about not getting the shot. But yeah, it's a players union issue. I mean, the Red Sox can't mandate everybody get vaxxed or else, because they'll have a grievance with the players association on their hands immediately. So it's too bad everybody can't get on the same page with this, but I guess everything these days is up for negotiation, and you know, something that's a tactic rather than something that's the right thing to do.
Freedom, man, don't step on my freedom.
Yeah, freedom, right? I know these guys who never got a shot to go to school or had to wear a seatbelt driving a car or wear pants to work or anything. So I know it's so frustrating.
Wait a second, what is this? But, what is this pants to work stuff you're talking about?
Well, some places require that.
Okay, all right. look further into that and see what I can find out. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it. Go give those PM jab guys a hard time, and we'll catch you again soon.
That's where panic mode will be, so I got to change my script.
Yes, that's
that
right.
One.
Buckle up for that.
Yeah, Javier's got Zach Wilson in the Hall of Fame, if they can just prevent him from getting his leg snapped when he, you know, when he's being... That'll be good.
You go straighten him out, Chad, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Rich.
See you, Chad. Chad Finn of the Globe on Downtown.